Okay, well, today's topic was formally titled Finding the Humor in Spiritual Practices. And I did my due diligence and researched humor and found that, there's a whole psychology section in text about humor and how it can affect and uplift and, do positive things. And I was like, oh, that's really cool. How cool is that? So I found, some really great text on muscle relaxation and a lot of psychology text and all this really great stuff. And I was like, yeah. Well, let's read all that. And then I was sitting in meditation this morning preparing for, how are we going to present this? And I heard you're not going to do it from logical state. You're going to do it from an open, a loving, fun state. And so, I'm going to tune in to what I was doing this morning. And if they lead me to the text, we'll do to the text. But right now we're just going to follow intuition and see what happens. So this morning when I was laying in bed, part of me logically, nervously, getting excited for this talk. I was like, oh my gosh, I have to do this talk. And my mind chatter was going all crazy. And then I hear my inner voice say, will you just relax, let go, lighten up, right? We've heard all these terms of lighten up, let go. Oh, or it's all good. Be in the moment, be zen, right? Be zen. Well, what the heck does that really mean? Be zen. What is that? That is such a good concept. Yes, I understand the definition, the word of, let it go. I understand. I have this pen and I let it go. But how do I feel about this pen? How do I feel about letting this go? Well, that's annoying. What it, right? The body is getting it, right? You have this feeling of, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. What does that mean? Let it go. Don't tell me to let it go. And it was so apropos this morning driving here. The car in front of us had this gorgeous bumper sticker that said, do not tell me to smile. And I was like, yes, that is so perfect, because don't tell me how to act, be, or feel, right? And Connie and I have these interactions all the time where, life will just throw us a juggernaut and, and Connie's favorite little phrase to say to her loving friends is, this or something better, remember this or something better, it's gonna be okay, which is all well and good, but that doesn't help the feeling that we were discussing. When people say lighten up or let it go or it's all good, bro, what you want to do is you're really wanting to feel better. So how do you feel about stressful work situations or things that your mind's telling you really don't want to do? I mean, the perfect example this morning was I've been suffering a cold for 14 days and it's just not letting up, and I was feeling better and then it wasn't feeling better, and I'm stressing out this morning like, oh my gosh, how am I going to go give this talk when I don't feel good? How am I going to concentrate enough to give this talk on feeling light and happy when I physically feel drained and tired, right? So it was like, how do I feel about it, right? And that led to, how do you feel? How do you make sure that you can shift your attitude and your awareness moment to moment, right? Well, another perfect example, how life will just throw you in synchronicity. Well, on the way here, we were driving and a bicycle person crossed the road and Brian was driving and stopped really quickly and didn't see the driver. And how that always jolts your energy when you have to hit the brakes hard. You're like, oh, that didn't feel good. That didn't feel good. So I'm like, oh gosh, how am I going to shift my energy to be uplifting, going to do this talk? How do I shift my energy in that moment from a totally what could have been a really sad situation to being uplifted and happy and feeling safe, right? Well, if you take off the situation and you really start playing with how you want to feel about something, that's what we're all after, and we always hear this, well, think positive, look at the positive. You didn't kill the guy. You didn't kill the guy in the crosswalk. So that's a positive thing, turn it around and be grateful that you had brakes that stopped the car, that you didn't hit the guy, right? We've all heard these tangents of how you have to go about, learning how to shift yourself in the moment. Well, I want to take that a step further today and help you realize that it's yes, there is the part about your mind keeping you safe and and looking at it and changing the situation, right? You have the thought forms that say, okay, yeah, that happened, but that's great. And then it's over, right? That's usually where our human minds will say, okay, that situation's over. Move on. Keep going in traffic. That was done. But what we don't tend to realize is there's a residual feeling after that, you know, certain situation. So we'll use this, you know, almost hitting the bicycle rider in the crosswalk analogy. So you feel like you're safe and everything and you kind of calm down and you continue down the road and you're like, okay, that's safe. And you kind of, your mind kind of forgets about it. But what happens internally in your emotional state is there's still some tension and there's still a little stress, you know. How do I feel about almost hitting that guy in the car smog, right? And none of us ever stop to say, oh, I should have been paying more attention or I forgive myself for almost hitting the guy. You know, there's an emotional component to it, how we want to feel better. And, you know, so much of this spiritual self-help stuff, you hear about the logical aspects, you know, of how to approach it. But if you take it down a couple steps further, it's about the feeling. How do I want to feel about the situation? So we're going to play with some practical situations that all of us engage in on a daily basis. You know, like our friend was saying here earlier, that you tend to have, you know, these work situations where you feel like you don't have any control over. You have to be in them. You really don't want to be them, but you're doing your best to psych yourself up logically that, okay, I'm going to do and say and be and act the right way to get through this conversation. But after you leave that meeting, there's a tendency to feel different. Like you in hindsight, you say, oh, I should have done this, if it didn't go a certain way. But the way to approach these types of things is that you set your intention of the feeling first. How do I want to feel when that conversation is over, when that meeting is over, when that interaction is over, when that ride is over? How do I want to feel, right? So you learn to make the feeling your priority. So you know, you say you have this meeting. I'll use myself as an example. Laying in bed this morning, I'm like, oh my gosh, I feel physically drained. My sinuses are draining. Am I going to cough my way through this thing? How am I going to do it? Well, I'm going to follow my intuition. I'm going to close my eyes so it helps me center and give the talk and just let the words flow, right? I'm going to be in the moment. I'm going to let it flow. And I'm going to intend for people to feel uplifted and hear what they want to hear and feel what they want to feel and feel the energy as it shifts and see how good that feels. And then I'm just going to show up and do that, right? So let's use another example of a different type of meeting. We're in a workplace where we all know that we're in this analytical space, right? We're all looking at the same project and everybody has their point of view of how this project should go. Well, how do you shift the energy when you know it's this project and it has all these issues? How do you look at that and say, okay, this is going to be different? You know, how do we approach this, right? Well, you do the same exact thing. You sit and you close your eyes or do whatever you know that you do that gives you grounding. Play a song, sing a song, something that will get you in your zone, right? We hear this zone all the time about with athletes and, oh, I was in the zone. Well, what the heck does that really mean? I was in the zone. Well, what it means is your mind is quiet and your heart is open and you're physically relaxed. Okay. You know that you're going to do well. You're going to set the intention, and that intention has power, that has energy, that has emotion, right? Motion, energy in motion. Emotion is the definition, right? Emotion, energy, emotion. So you start saying, okay, I have this meeting today. I logically don't want to be there. I really don't want to see XYZ and I don't want to interact with them. But if I was really in the zone and I approached this meeting, how would I feel? How would I be? How would it be different than my logical mind is telling me it would be? Well, I would sit in that room. Well, prior to sitting into that room or go in the bathroom or go and sit in the car, whatever you need to do to center yourself, right? And you say, okay, I'm going to center myself. And Carrie uses this meditation, right? That she will always, you know, get people to ground themselves in their physical body. She does this beautiful, excuse us. This meditation of putting energy, you know, just imagine this ball of white light just coming up around your feet, all up to your knees and your hips, and then in your stomach and your chest and your shoulders, down your hands, you know, through the neck, up the up through the head and out all the way up into the cosmos, and then you come back down and cleanse the aura, and then you go back down into Mother Earth, and you ground yourself into Mother Earth, and you let the energy come back up, right? Well, that's a very metaphysical way of approaching it, but you know, we all have different ways of grounding ourselves, right? And usually when things don't go our way, it's because we didn't center ourselves or get ourselves in the zone to let that energy expand, right? So, you know, it is a practice to stay in the moment to moment to moment. But so we're preparing for a meeting. So what do? A practical sense would be, okay, we, you know, drove in the car to get to our meeting, and we take just a few minutes instead of just rushing in, turning the car off and rushing into the meeting. We sit there in the car and say, okay, I'm here now. This is a new segment of my time. This is the next hour I have to spend. I don't have any choice of spending this hour, but what can I do differently? Well, we could either reach over and turn a favorite song on, right? Because that's always uplifting. Or we could think of somebody we love, right? And we can imagine our last interaction of that person and feeling the love between each other. Excuse me. Or you could, you know, sit there and center yourself and just let this beautiful white light, right? That's such a real metaphysical term, right? You imagine the white light just washing over you, and you center yourself, and you're just this beautiful being of light. Because, you know, we have to pick fun, because Connie's license plate says you are light, right? So you just have to let, you know, that beautiful white light go through every little cell and expand, right? Well, we are mocking and making fun, because there is a lot of truth to this, but people don't take it literally, or, you know, play with it to feel what's right for them, right? So what's encouraged is to start playing with something that really lights you up. Like, what lights you up? What makes you feel the best that you can possibly feel, right? So you just tune into that vibe, right? Tune into that vibration, and you allow that to expand and get yourself, and you just allow that energy to center you right here in this moment, right? Our friend Eckhart Tolle always says about, you know, the power of now. Well, that's what's meant by the power of now. You allow that wonderful energy just to that tuning in, that frequency of how you really want to feel, be the priority. You allow yourself to be in the moment, and you allow yourself to feel what you know is the truth of who you are. You allow your knowing to expand. So, you know, we'll take that back into our meeting, right? You know what the best possible outcome for that meeting is, right? You know what the best possible feeling could be after you leave that meeting. That's what you tune into. But then we hear you, you know, you have your logical mind saying, no, I can't do that, because I have to stay up here in my logical mind. I can't let this feeling overtake the meeting, because everybody will think I'm crazy. Right. We get it. So what you do is you expand that feeling, because we like visual things. So there's this visual practice that, that we like to show. It's like, so you have this, all this doubt over here, right? The doubt's the size of a basketball, and the way you want to feel when you leave the meeting is the size of a baseball, right? So you got this fear and doubt over here that just seems so big and overwhelming. Well, what do you do to shift it? So the basketball is really the outcome and the feeling of what you want after the meeting, and the baseball is actually, you know, the lower vibration, right? So what you do is you say, okay, all right, let me see what I can do. It's simple as this. You all have had experiences where you pick up a cat and pet it, or pick up a dog and pet it, or a child, and the child is not feeling well, and you pick it up and you console it, right? Well, we like to throw out the visual of you taking that feeling, that doubt that the meeting is not going to go well, the doubt, and just bring that into you and just pet it like you would an animal, child, or pet, right? And you just say, it's okay, you're allowed to be here. Instead of fighting with it, instead of resisting it, saying, oh, my logical mind says I'm not supposed to feel that way, you just allow yourself to say, hey, you can be there, doubt, but I know this meeting is going to be the best meeting ever, and I'm going to have the outcome that I truly desire, that not only works for me and makes me feel great, but everybody involved and connected from this point and then every point in the future is going to feel uplifted, and it's going to work better than I possibly imagined. I'm going to open myself up to have ideas and thought forms and experiences that I haven't even felt yet, because I know that I know how to play with energy. energy. And when I play with energy, I know that when I line myself up internally to feel better, that my external world just comes in and lines it up for me, right? So, you know, again, we have to poke fun at those spiritual terms. We all hear about these spiritual terms about, you know, line yourself up, you know, get in the zone, make sure you're all zen. You know, how many times have we been in yoga or an exercise class and you're doing some funky position and you're in pain and you're like, why the hell am I doing this? This hurts. You know, what the heck am I doing? Find your zen. And the instructor's up there saying, okay, be calm when you're feeling your muscles rip. You know, like, how are you supposed to stay in the zen, right? Well, that's the whole idea. You're tuning into something greater than what you are in that moment. And that is the fun about it. That's the humor, finding the humor that whatever this feeling is now is only temporary. Whatever belief I had about this situation, place, or thing, I have the power to change it. Because we've all heard that our minds are like a computer program, right? What we put in is what we see out in the external world. Well, same thing. You have the delete button. That delete button is within you, and you have that power to say, delete, I'm writing a new story. I'm going to write a new story. Gary has been looking at these terms, you know, like they're all these toolboxes of information. You know, all these people are out there selling their wares about, you know, oh, I've got the answer to your spirituality. I can make you feel better about your emotions. I mean, there's so many of them that offer these codes and tricks and tools and this tapping stuff. And, you know, you've all seen it. You know, if you dare to get on any email list about anything spiritual, you get bombarded with this new program that's going to make you feel better. Well, you don't have to feel better. You just have to know that all that stuff that they're selling starts within you. And yes, they're good about pointing you back into yourself and saying, hey, you at one point in time started a story about some situation in your past, but hey, you're here now and you don't have to believe that anymore, right? So yes, and we get it that it's easier said than done, because sometimes feelings are so strong and so powerful that you don't know how to change them, right? But it's really just a story. You have the delete button. You can say, okay, I delete that story and I rewrite a new story. And if you still rewrite the new story, that it has a new text or new construct, and then you read that new story and you say, I still feel yucky about it. It still drains me. Well, then you start applying love to it, right? That's a good spiritual term. That's a good metaphysical term. Apply love to it. What the heck does that mean? Apply love to it. Really? Really? You know, how practical is it for us to be working and walking around in the metropolitan area and apply love to it? Really? Well, yes, really. What you do is you set your intention, right? You set your intention for having interactions with complete strangers being uplifting and happy, right? You take the 5 minutes before you go to your next thing and say, hey, I'm going to feel connected and aware and clear, and to think clearly and have clarity and open my heart and close my mind and let my intuition lead the meeting, right? You're gonna sit there and say, I intend for traffic to flow. Heck, I intend to have people wave at me in traffic today. I intend to see license plates that are uplifting. I intend to see happy children running around. I intend to see stuff that I know that makes my heart sing. I intend to meet wonderful musicians that are just, you know, as good of me as me or better. Having like-minded people say, I just walk in a room and you have that instant connection. Like, oh my gosh, wow, that's so cool. Just feeling uplifted knowing that said person is coming to be in your physical presence today. How many times have you gotten, you know, where you have that one person in your mind and you're like, oh, it would be really great to hear from so-and-so today. And a text message comes through, or a phone call, or an email. Or even better, you get to see them in the physical. Like, you know, you meet for coffee or a meal. How wonderful is that? Right? But so back to the feeling, right? So this is all well and good. Yes, preaching the word, right? Preaching to feel love. How do you feel love? How do you feel it? right? Well, you have to be self-aware enough to say, okay, there's this feeling that's, you know, an Abe term is stuck in my craw, right? Well, how do you do that? Well, again, you know, people who are sensitive to energy or artists or people who are very visual, they like to tell you that, you know, you have this, you have the physical body, mental body, spiritual body, and then you have this thing called an aura, right? This energy body that's a big orb around you, right? Well, people who are sensitive to energy, could either feel there's glitches in this aura or blockages. How many times have we heard that in a meditation or a metaphysical talk? Oh, you have an energy block that you need to dissolve. What the heck does that mean? How do you dissolve an energy block? Or if you have some health issue, your chi isn't flowing, right? So how do you get that to flow? Well, it's all about just being aware, just turning your attention in and admitting you feel XYZ. Right? You feel annoyed. You feel irritated. Well, you know, I was looking at this cold and saying, okay, why is this cold lasting for 14, 15 days? This is getting old, you know, what about it? And then it occurred to me, how do I feel about it? Well, I'm irritated. I'm annoyed. I feel stuck. You know, I don't feel physically good, you know, and why is this still happening? Well, it's because I wasn't being honest about how I'm feeling, right? And so when I started exploring how I'm feeling about the cold, and I'm like, okay, let's practice our little tools. How do I feel better? How do I apply love to these feelings? Well, again, it was just first admitting that I feel irritated, and then secondly saying, oh, yeah, I can choose to feel better. And, oh, yeah, I'm going to show up anyway and just let the cold take its course instead of controlling it. And I'm just going to be nice and gentle with it and trying to force it to go away, right? And then I started feeling more relaxed, and my nose, you know, started not running as much, and I started, you know, feeling better, you know, but it takes a practice. It takes an awareness. It takes an intention to say, okay, I'm gonna, you know, make this feel better, right? So how does this all apply to this term humor? You know, the theme of this talk was supposed to be humor, right? Well, all that is being said just to apply when you notice, hey, I'm feeling irritated or angry or annoyed. How can I shift that to something better, right? How can I shift that to feeling lighter about it? Lighten up, right? How many people have just passed and say, oh, just lighten up, you know, or you know, you need to relax or stuff like that. You know, these are all flippant remarks, but what does that mean? They all started off with good intention, but people don't actually say, oh, you're right. Thank you. Yeah, I do need to change my attitude in this moment. I do need to find the bright side of life. Right. So, you know, I mean, whatever you need to do to shift your energy so you're not focused there, because when you take the focus off what is and put the focus on what you, how you want to feel, that's a totally different energy. That's a totally different vibe. And then when you're in that feeling of flow and lightheartedness and joy and happiness, you know, you're just like, yeah, I want that. That's how I want to feel, right? So I want to feel happy. I want to feel light. I want to laugh. I want to have playful moments. I want to feel like life is a journey and supposed to be joyful. And really, really expand that awareness and allowing us to have fun. So, So just allowing yourself to flow in the moment, and it's all an internal awareness. It's all about having fun and being the truth of who you are, which is a powerful creator, loving, joyful, fun, uplifter, right? So we have some jokes for you today that we thought would be fun and uplifting. So here we go. Every 10 years, the monks in a monastery are allowed to break their vow of silence and speak two words. 10 years go by, and one of the monks' first chances, he thinks before he says what his two words are going to be, and he finally utters, food bad. 10 years later, another monk says, bed hard. It's the big day. A decade later, and another monk gets the chance to say what he wants to say. And he says, I quit. And the head monk says, I'm not surprised. You've been complaining ever since you got here. Another one. A man goes to see a wizard and says, can you lift the curse that a priest put on me years ago? Maybe, says the wizard. Can you remember the exact words of the curse? The man replies, I pronounce you man and wife. Late one night, a burglar broke into a house, and while he was sneaking around, he heard a voice say, Jesus is watching you. He looked around and saw nothing. He kept on creeping on, he kept on creeping and again heard, Jesus is watching you. In a dark corner, he saw a cage with a parrot inside. The burglar asked the parrot, was it you who said, Jesus is watching me? The parrot replied, yes. Relieved, the burglar asked, what is your name? The parrot said, Clarence. The burglar said, that's a stupid name for a parrot. What idiot named you Clarence? The parrot said, the same idiot that named the Rottweiler Jesus. Ah! In surgery for a heart attack, a middle-aged woman has a vision of God by her bedside. Will I die? She asked. God said, no, you have 30 more years to live. With 30 years to look forward to, she decides to make the best of it. So since she's in the hospital, she decides to get breast implants, liposuction, a tummy tuck, hair transplants, collagen injections, and a butt lift. She looks great. The day she's discharged, she exits the hospital with a swagger, feeling confident, crosses the street, and is immediately hit by an ambulance and killed. Up in heaven, she sees God and says, you said I had 30 more years to live, she complains. That's true, God said. So what happened, she asked. God shrugs and says, I didn't recognize you. How are we doing on time? Okay, so one more here. Two more. So on their way to get married, a young Catholic couple is involved in a fatal car accident. The couple found themselves sitting outside the pearly gates waiting for St. Peter to process them into heaven. While waiting, they began to wonder, could they possibly get married in heaven? When St. Peter showed up, they asked him, hey, St. Peter, can we get married? And St. Peter said, I don't know. This is the first time anyone has ever asked. Let me go find out. And he left. The couple sat and waited and waited, and 2 months passed, and the couple was still waiting. While waiting, they began to wonder what would happen if their marriage did not work out. Could they get a divorce in heaven? After yet a month, St. Peter finally returned, looking somewhat confused. Yes, he said, you can get married in heaven. Great, said the couple. But we were just wondering, what if things don't work out? Could we still get a divorce in heaven? St. Peter, red-faced with anger, slammed his clipboard to the ground and said, what's wrong? Asked the frightened couple. Oh, come on, St. Peter shouted. It took me 3 months to find a priest up here, and do you have any idea how long it'll take me to find a lawyer? All right, and we'll end on this one. This is pretty fun. A teacher asked her students to use the word beans in a sentence. My father grows beans, said one girl. My mother cooks beans, said a boy. And the third student spoke up and said, we're all human beings. So I hope this talk uplifts you and helped you find the feeling of feeling laughter and humor and uplift in your daily moments. And we are so grateful. Thank you.
Thank you.